Hello everyone, we're studying from the book of Zohar, volume 3, Parashat Chayei Sara, page 2, item 5. Come and see. When a person goes to bed and sleeps each and every night, his soul leaves him and is judged before the judgment of the king. If it remains alive, it is returned to this world. And the judgment is in two ways. For one is not judged for the evil that he is destined to do, for it is written, for the Lord heard the voice of the boy wherever he is, not about the future. And do not say that they do judge a person for only the good things that he did, but they judge a person by a scale of merit for the good of the present, meaning that they judge him for the merit that he is destined to do, for which he is saved, although now he is still wicked, as they said. Beginning item 8 asks about the text when wicked or lost sing, it is written, will I want the death of the wicked? Thus there is no the Creator is not pleased when there is judgment, when he judges the wicked. And he replies that here, before the quantity is completed, then he does not want the death of the wicked. Here, after it is completed, at which time, when the wicked are lost, he is joyous. Meaning a person cannot go from degree to degree unless he has decided that the previous situation is intolerable. Now that intolerable situation may be either by the pain really being so great that he feels that he has to leave the previous situation and go to the next, because from degree to degree it goes from a lesser will to bestow to a greater will to bestow. He has to correct himself to be more of a giver. That's why who would make him go from degree to degree? Either the greatest torments that will make him want to die more than to live, meaning that the will to receive will want to die more than the life in bestow, but those torments have to be terrible. It's as Bala Salam says that he explains to, in the introduction to the study of the Tansuot, that in the past Kabbalists would really torment themselves until the body would get accustomed to these pains, and then from this they would go to the will to bestow in the beginning of instruction to Talmud Sosiot. But we received a different system, a different method from our sages. Our sages say that instead of self-tormenting, we can use the power of Torah, the power that pulls, instead of the pains that we have to escape. So if a person succeeds in building this advertisement, that spirituality, that the purpose of creation, their adhesion with Creator is a great thing worth working for, then this way one can succeed without torments, but he just runs and finishes his quantity and understands that his situation is intolerable because of love. Because of pains of love, not because of torments. Those are called pains of love instead of physical suffering. But in any case, in order to leave the current degree and go to the next, it is only if the cup is full. the situation is intolerable. Page 8, item 19, 20, and 21. Commentary: Chava, Eve, came to the world, clung to that serpent, and he cast the filth in her, and she brought death to the world and to her husband. Came Sarah to the place of the Sitaracha and rose, and the shelf, the klipot, did not cleave to her. As he says, and Abram came from Egypt, him and his wife and everything he had. Came Noah to the world. What does it say? Noah drank from the wine and was intoxicated and rolled. Item 20. And because Abraham and Sarah did not become attached to the Sitra Achra, Sarah was endowed with upper life, her husband, and her children after her. So of course this is a soul that has a giving part and receiving part. The giving part is called Abraham, the receiving part is called Sarah. The receiving part works along with the giving part, that when there is receiving in order to bestow, because there is receiving in order to bestow, it creates the next potsuf from Zivug Daka, which is called the descendants, the offsprings. But it is always one body, one soul. Item 20, and because Abraham and Sarah did not cling to the Sitaracha, Sarah was endowed with the upper life, her husband and her children after her. And this is what they wrote, looked upon their core, where they came from, meaning Abraham. And there's something in Hebrew here that I can't understand, meaning Sarah. That is why it is written that Sarah's life was, meaning that she attained all of them, all the years, which is not said about the other women. That it doesn't say the lives of Chava were, and so in all of them, for she clung to life. And that is why life is hers. Page 15, item 42. There's a question about the physical life of Sarah. What do you think they're telling us about a woman that lived on earth and that's it? That's what they're talking about? What for? Is there a historic romance? Two old guys who didn't have children? Or what? Sarah and Eve are two females, two nukvas, two kinds of will to receive that are in the soul. The soul consists of two parts. The male part that is called the aims to bestow, and the female part that is called the will to receive. And according to the match between them, which enables reception in order to bestow, using the will to receive only with the aim to bestow, it is called that there is a mating between the male and the female for giving birth to children, to sons, or to children. What does it mean that you beget children? You beget a new potsuf, which the primary part of it is bestowal, meaning a son. But there's also a female in it. That's why you always give birth to sons and daughters. Yes? That's why you have a potsuf, you have a reshimot of clothing, reshimot of youth, all these things together. That's why it tells us only about the process that we go in our soul, we go through. either in our roots that descend from above downward, or that we correct from below upward. But they never talk about some physical bodies that lived, I don't know, some 3,500 years ago in Persia or somewhere, Mesopotamia. It's useless. What will it give me to know that there was this couple there? What does that teach me? Is there something I should know about a good relationship between a man and a woman, or some manners, or some education, or what? Or, you know, as lawyers, as lawyers maybe learn the contract that he signed to purchase Ma'at Machpelah. That's what we have to learn. It's only for the purpose of correcting the soul. Is the a transition from degree to degree, is it only above the barrier? Now you're asking, when we go from degree to degree above the barrier, by torment, is it above or below the barrier? It's always like that. I'm in a certain situation. It can be a Jew or a Gentile, or a person today, or a person thousands of years ago. I, as a person, am in a certain situation. I have to, according to my Rishimot, reach the end of correction, a region with the Creator. In all of us, there are souls. These souls are in a state of a point, and we have to bring them to the height of a complete Patsuf, which is like the Creator. And we do it gradually, over many, many lives, and within our own life. How do we go from situation to situation? Leaving the previous state and going to the next. What does it mean to go to the next state? It means that I go from will to receive, my current will to receive, and I determine that it is bad, to a state that I think is better. Better in what? It's when I, in my current will to receive, suffer. I don't want to stay in that. I understand that the pleasures that I receive in it are no longer pleasures, but they are pain, torment. In the end, what do I subconsciously understand? That every time I use my will to receive, I do not enjoy but suffer. I still don't know it. I can only attain it maybe in 100 or 200 years ago, or 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, depends on which kind of life you're talking about. Just as we lived several thousand years ago during all our lives, and we also suffered, and that suffering accumulates until a person begins to understand, perhaps, bit by bit. But everyone comes to a state which is called that death is better than life. When my entire life, the process from life to life, brings me to such an accumulation of reshimot, yes, impressions, that I see that I suffer from my ego. That if I didn't have an ego, I wouldn't suffer. And many, the Eastern teachings and all that, how I diminish the ego, how I suffer less because of that, etc. But in the end, it doesn't give us a solution. The solution for going from degree to degree should be one that I do consciously. Why I go from degree to degree? What do I want to attain? That's why, if we want to advance quickly and pick up the pace and take it into our own hands. We have to, instead of waiting until the pains are intolerable in every situation and we'll escape them. And this is what happens every moment. Every moment I switch something with something else, even when I move myself. That situation is not good, the situation will be better. Yes? That's it. So, they say, you want to accelerate your development? Go ahead, it's possible. But instead of pains, you will still need some force that will pull you forward. So instead of pushing from behind, get forces that will pull you from before. So it's the purpose of creation, the next degree, the matter of bestowal. The next degree is bestowal. If you want to know it, you want to come to it, not by pains that you run from, you don't know where, as long as you can just get out of it, but you have to reach the next degree. You have to picture to yourself the thing about bestowal. You have to picture bestowal as something good, something sublime. How can I do it if I'm a complete egoist? So that's why it is written, the light in it reforms through the correct study and the right books with the right intent, that I want by myself to bring myself to the goal. Then I awaken on myself the surrounding light from the final situation where I exist to begin with, and from there, when the surrounding light shines on me, it pulls me forward instead of the pain. But still, when it pulls me forward, it has to be so great that my current situation, even if I don't suffer physically, but my current situation compared to the next will appear terrible. Like pain, like with pain, that pain should be such that I decide, that's it, I can't take it, I'm running from it, run away from it. So should be the pull to the good that I run to there. It's the same, should be the same force, the pulling force should be the same as the pushing force. That's switching the physical pains with the pains of love, that I don't have something that I love. And this is called advancing in the path of Torah instead of the path of pain. And this is called the light in it reforms. It brings me back. It pulls me through the pulling force, which is called the Messiah, Mashiach, Moshech in Hebrew, pulling. Now, we're talking about a person who doesn't even consider his own life. Life is terrible, it's not terrible, it's good, it's not good. Because that person wants to get somewhere specific. He doesn't even care about pains. Not, my life is my life, that's what he says. But from now on, I'm taking care of my soul. I don't want to advance by pains until they increase, they're this, they're that. I'm running away from them, from intolerable torments to tolerable torments. Yes, it's the least evil. I want to go to an altogether different method of correction, of process. Different process. So then it takes the wisdom of Kabbalah as a method and advances with it. But again, in every situation, in order to go from one to the next, you have to fill your cup, so it's called. Meaning your current situation has to become intolerable, either because of the pain or because of the attraction to the good, to the Creator, to the soul. By which means can I imagine my next situation is good? Only the surrounding light should bring me this situation, and to even want to begin with this is only by the power of the group. I have to, if I choose to advance in a path of Torah, in a path of the light that forms, that pulls me, not the pains like the entire world. So I have to find a group, as he explains to us in the article, The Freedom. Yes. The group should give me the conviction that adhesion with the Creator, spirituality. This is life. This is the only thing that's good. In current situation, whatever it is, if I don't have the Creator, if I don't attain Him, if I don't attain the property of bestowal, resembling Him, cleaving, adhesion with Him, it is bad, it is intolerable. That's it. And then the group, we see how the environment can influence us. Then the group influences me in such a way that I just feel myself obligated that I'm going to die. If a person can die, if society influences in that way, it does the most irrational things. Society can give us all the values that it decides on, and we are captive in the hands of society. There's no way to choose. If we're in society, Baha'u'llah Sallam writes that a person can choose society, but once he chooses it and goes into that society, one can no longer resist the influence of society and becomes a complete slave to society. What operations should we do in order to advertise it? Meaning, why are we not succeeding in advertising the fact that the concept that breaking the barrier is the most wonderful thing? Why can't we convince ourselves that spirituality is the best thing? Because it's not that we don't think that it's so. We don't succeed in connecting society in a way that it'll influence every person in that way. We are failing in connecting and doing something like an advertisement company, that it is good, it is right to do that, to have that. Okay, let's continue reading. Yes, page 15, item 42 and 43. Rabbi Yehuda said, when the Creator created Adam HaRishon, when he was still a golem is a cocoon, before he threw the soul into him, called that angel who was appointed on the forms of people and told him, examine and create in the creation of this six people, and they are Shimshon, Shaul, Asael, Yoshiyahu, Tzidkiyahu, Avshalom. And it is written that it was written in his image, and he called his name Shet, meaning six, meaning the above six people. 43. Rabbi Yitzchak said, from that very dust that Adam HaRishon was made, the Creator took it to build these six people and called him Shit, which means Shita, which is six in Aramaic, meaning that he called six people, as it is written that they were born in his image, meaning from the same dough that his cocoon was made from. Which means that you made similar to him, and they will all write about your book. Who are all? Meaning those who did not keep what the Creator gave them and were exiled from the world.
Dav Yud Chet, Ot Nun
page 17, item 51. Rabbi Yehuda said, come and see. It is written, Abraham rose before the face of his dead. Rabbi Abba asked that we learned that when the soul is complete, meaning from Bina, the hay is added to it and is called Abraham, which is the completeness of the upper one. And here you say that he is not so righteous, for it is written that Abraham rose, and you make he who sits on the big throne descend to sit in a low, in a small, inferior chair throne. Meaning the hay of Abraham that was added to him indicates that he rose and attained the great Mochin from Bina. It is written, as it is written, that Abraham rose over the face of his dead, indicating the Mochin of Katnus, which shine to the body. For an Abraham rose, meaning the receiving of Mochin, that placing on his feet over the face of his dead, meaning from the face that belonged to the dead body, which is called Sarah, which are Mochin of Katnut. And he asks, because the soul is called Abraham, it indicates that it already has Mochin of Gadlut from Bina, from Upper Bina. So how does the text say that Abraham rose over the face of his dead, which indicates Mochin of Katnut? Katnut is smallness, and Gadlut is greatness, or adulthood. It is written that you make he who sits in the big throne descend and sit in the little chair. See a question, read on. But that is what I decide in the explanation of the text, that Abraham rose over the face of his dead, for he said, Rabbi Zrika said, when the soul is worthy of rising to its place of Eden, it first defends the holy body from which it came, and after that it rises to the place of its virtue, the first, the upper hay. And Abraham rose over the face of his dead, meaning that before the soul leaves the body to rise to heaven, it extends for the body the mochin that it deserves, so that it can bond into a minyan, which is a count of 10, with the other bodies of the righteous. And these mochin are implied in the text that in Abraham rose, and that explains the question how he came down from mochin of Gadlut to mochin of Katnut, for he did not extend them for himself but for the body. It's like we change degrees. When you change a degree from situation to situation, the previous degree has to leave. Like with the example in the Zohar, that it says Rabbi Shimon, before he attains the degree of the end of correction, it goes down to the degree of Shimon from the market, to the lowest possible degree, and then rises to the even higher degree. Every time you rise from degree 100 to 101, you have to drop to first of all minus 101 and then rise to plus 101. So it is here, and this is called the departure of the soul, or going from Gadlut to Katnut and then back to Gadlut, to a higher connection with the Creator. 53. And he spoke to the sons of Chet, those are the rest of the bodies of the righteous that are frightened and beaten in the world, for fearing their Lord, and they're afraid for lying in the dust. That is why they're called the sons of Chet. And he asks, why does the soul need the bodies of the righteous? And he says, Rabbi Yehuda says, they are all written in the minyan, in the count of ten. Meaning that he takes them into account and revives them to the revival of the dead in the account. Therefore, the soul spoke to them, so that the body will be counted with them. As it says that he spoke to the sons of Chet. And this has already... So it's clear that what he writes here, the departure of the soul is a light that leaves the vessel when the screen is refined and the vessel is refined, and then the revival of the dead, we understand that it should be that will to receive that determines that one determines it is dead, that can be used in order to bestow. Now he raises it again, uses it in order to bestow. It is called that he revives it. Item 54. What did the soul that's called Abraham told them? He told them by way of reconciliation and honor, a proselyte and a resident am I among you. Meaning that he told them, this body will be with you in one minyan in this connection. Rabbi said, look what it says. The sons of Chet and tortured Abraham. They didn't torture him. They answered, Bnei Chet, the sons of Chet answered Abraham, meaning they answered him respectfully. As they say, we heard, sir. Page 22, item 70. Come and see. When the days of Adam exist in the upper degrees, meaning in the seventh Sefirot Chadat Nehim, which is the body of the degree, it is the 70 years that we say people have, a person has this, 7 times 10 Sefirot. A person lives in the world because one does not exist anymore in the upper degrees, meaning that he's completed already the 70 lives of the year that extend from the 7th Sefirot of Chagat Nehim. Because of that, one completes his days in the Sefirot and descend below the Sefirot until they come to that degree where death is. Meaning, the angel of death, which is below the Sefirah of Malchut, where it says, sin croucheth at the door. And then it gets permission to take the soul out, and it flies all the world in one flight, and takes the soul and defiles the body. And the body remains impure. Happy are the righteous who are not defiled in him or in it. And their body, and there's no impurity left in their body. And Rabbi Yehuda brings this as an evidence to his words that the angel of death did not control Sarah. For it is clear here that the death comes to a person after he leaves the seventh Sefirot and goes below the lowest Malchut, which is the place of the angel of death, at which time he takes authority and takes out the soul, because a person completed his the correction of his private 70 souls, so he has to go to the next degree. So the angel of death comes, which is, what is the angel of death? It is the awakening of the will to receive in such a degree that the light has to leave, and this is how he has to bring forth the next degree, the next pasuf. And you find that Sarah, who never went below the lowest Malchut, but died in Kiryat Arba, which is the upper Malchut, above the Pulsar, that in the place of Chazel of Zerampin, it is certain that did not die by the angel of death. Well, some of it. We should have a little bit of it. We'll talk about these things. Okay. Maybe we'll go to something else. Let's see. Well, we're here. Let's see if we can't get away from these things of life and death. Okay, let's see. Page 45. Item 154. Page 45, item 154. The revival of the dead. The most important thing I want is that we come out of this parasha clearly knowing that it talks about the inner body, called the body of the Pasuf, the Guf of the Pasuf, the departure of the light that is called death, the coming of the new light is called birth, new life, etc. It is not about physical bodies, but a body of a soul. And that, let's relate to it this way, that our bodies are not taken into any kind of account. Yes, please. Item 45, page 45, item 154. And Abraham is old. Rabbi Bo said, Rabbi Yochanan, in that world, which is days, meaning light, and not in this world, which is night, meaning old, meaning the upper spirit in the upper world, which are lights, and are called days. Rabbi Yaakov said, old, meaning that he comes into those worlds which are considered days, because of those pleasures and yearning that he inherits. And he does not disagree with Rabbi Yochanan, but explains further in greater detail. And the Lord blessed Abraham with everything. Everything, meaning that office, meaning authority, that the Creator gave him from his name, which is the letter He, in which the world was created, the properties of Bina. Go on. Rabbi Yehuda said, item 155, Matat, the minister of interior affairs, who is a youth, a slave to his lord master that governs him, he is appointed on the souls to give it every day from that light that he was ordered to give it. And he is destined to receive the account in writing from the graveyard, from the cemetery, from the hand of Duma, from every single body, and show it before the master, his master. And he is destined to do the same, to make that loose bone a remnant for the building of the body under the earth, and correct the body and revive it completely as is worthy for a body without a soul. And afterwards the Creator will send the soul to its place in the body, meaning after he comes to the land of Israel, as it is written before us. So there's an entire process of correction of the body, including the loose bone, which is the end of correction, that this loose bone is corrected. Yes, go ahead. You have to understand thoroughly the bone that remains in the grave and does not rot, which is the loose bone. That says here that the angel Matat makes that remnant for the construction of the body, and our sages said that this bone is called luz, and it does not enjoy food and drink that a human eats and drinks. Therefore it does not rot in the grave, as the other bones. So it's got some different pleasure from the other desires, this desire. And a bone is one of the desires of a person. It's a very, very special desire. That is the foundation of all the desires, and all the other desires can enjoy all sorts of food and drink, yes, so it's called, and this bone is not, cannot. There's no pleasure for it. Yes, what pleasure is there for it? And from it, the body is rebuilt when it stands for the resurrection of the dead. You have to understand why it is called loose, and why it doesn't drink and eat, and does not rot in the ground, and what is its pedigree, that only from it the body is built at the time of the revival. And it has been clarified that these mochin that the guf receives in life from the midline, they cause it to rot in the grave. In order for you to understand this thoroughly, I will bring to you from Jacob and Esav that Jacob is the midline and Esav is the left line, which is not incorporated with the right. And it is written that Jacob made a stew, meaning the mochin that is called from the middle line, which is called Jacob. And Esav came from the field, and he is tired, and said, give me from this red thing. That he wanted the middle line to give him his mochin, that the left line is incorporated in them, in the right, from which life comes. So Esav wanted the light, although his kli was not corrected. It's as though these lights, yes, it's as though he deserves those lights, but not right now, but because it's not corrected. But Yaakov told him, sell your seniority to me today, for it is known that mochin of chokhmah extend in the left line, which is the seniority in gadlut, but also that is why they do not want to incorporate in the right, which is a light of mercy, which is a lot smaller. But the lower ones cannot receive the illumination of the left before it robes in mercy from the right line. So if they could receive everything in the left line, the vessel, actual vessels of reception, then they would jump into Gadlut immediately. But that can't be done. But first, the incorporation of left and right must be done, which comes by compromise between mercy and wisdom. Those are the phases of Katnut, and afterwards you come to Gadlut, bit by bit. And Esav is like that desire that wants it immediately to use reception without the gradual corrections. And this is the meaning of Esav being tired. And he said, I am going to die. So what do I need the seniority for? So I have great vessels for Gal of Chokhmah, but I can't use them. I'm going to die. There's no light that I can receive in me as a light of life. So what do I need the seniority for if I have these great vessels, if I can't use them? So he sells his adulthood, here's his seniority, meaning he sees that he can absolutely have anything in his vessels. So what does it sell it for? That is why he sold him the seniority. And also he looted the seniority because he had to receive the mochin from Yaakov, from the incorporation with the right. So it's the same soul. It acts in such a way that it understands and attains, and it can't use the great vessels of reception that are called Esav. Now it is going to use not the great vessels of reception that jump first. It's our nature. That's why Esav is the senior, is the first. the egoistic ego. Ego. It's that's what burns in me. And the after that, when I see that it's impossible to use the vessels of reception, then I go into a different kind of treatment, a different kind of use for my in my vessels of Yaakov, katnut. I sell my seniority. I don't use those vessels, only the vessels of katnut. It's all in one body again. If we look at the collective soul, the nations of the world, Israel, gadlut, katnut, it's also one body. It depends from which perspective. Either we look at a person as being one world and it all lives in that person, or the collective soul of Adam HaRishon, where it is. But it's not good if we look at Israel and the nations of the world separately as two separate parts that should be in the collective part. But we discuss not the collective soul, but we bring it down to our world and discuss about it here. That creates all the confusions, that we think that we are Israel and we are corrected, and the nations of the world are Gentiles and they're not corrected. That's the confusion. So we always have to relate to one topic, one subject, sorry, where everything in it is in it as one. Esav, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Amalek, the loose bone, anything is all everything is all together, either in Adam HaRishon or in a single individual in this world. But if we start dividing these things between the higher degree and the lower degree, then it turns out that in our world there are many, many details, and we relate to each detail, each nation or each person, some kind of properties that in spirituality they exist, but not in our world. It's that's the bad thing about it, and that's the reason for the confusions, and that's what deviates us from the path to correction. Because if that's the case, then Israel means that they want the Creator, that they're together with the Creator, that they're in adhesion with the Creator. This is not Israel on earth, on this land that are called Israel. Of course not, and so on. So we have to discuss either the collective soul or the individual soul in individual, but not bodies. The Torah doesn't speak about bodies whatsoever. And this is the beginning of the solution to the right perspective on nature. They're talking about only the individual soul, either collective or individual soul, but only one soul. And you find that when Esav received the Mochin for the midline, he revoked his seniority, for he dropped the, which is the illumination of Chochmah, from the left without the right, but he desecrated it, because he showed his opinion that from he learned that from the illumination of the left comes only death, as it is written, and I'm going to die. And from the illumination of the middle line comes life. So by that, Esav finishes his job, brings from all the vessels from Gadlut to Katnut, that can now be used instead of Katnut. So we have all the vessels in the soul. In the soul, we cut off everything, the vessels of Gadlut, and start using only vessels of Katnut. That's the meaning of Esav exposing the death in a state of Gadlut. And such as that, you will conclude for one's body. For each body fell under the control of some. The minister of Esav. During the sin of the tree of knowledge, from which comes death over the body. And this government is the filth of the serpent, which never leaves the body before it is rotten. It rots in the grave. So the will to receive has to be completely sorted to such a point that you realize that you cannot use any of its desires. That's the meaning of decaying in the grave. Therefore, the righteous purify their bodies, which comes from the left, until it is worthy of receiving the mochin from the middle line. Of course, we're not talking about flesh and blood, but about the body of the Patsuf. In flesh and blood, there's no difference between the bodies. We can even plant whatever we want from body to body. There's no difference if we take blood from body to body. All the bodies are the same bodies. The difference is only in the correction of the souls. Yes? And with the reception of the mochin, the body that desecrates its seniority is like a sav, and the imprint of this desecration remains in the body after it dies until it causes it decay, which is the complete nullification of all its power of reception until there is not a remnant left of it. And understand thoroughly. Well, the will to receive, of course, it doesn't disappear. We understand that this is the entire creation. The Creator created the will to receive. The creature cannot cancel it, but it can decide that it doesn't use even the smallest desire. It can't, and it doesn't want to work with it, and that's the meaning of the body decaying. If we said that everything is one, then what is the restriction? Restriction of what? What does it mean? What is restriction? By definition, restriction is restricting the desire, although greatly wanting it. I really, really want something that is before me, but I forbid myself to use it. This is the restriction of the desire. I do not restrict the desire, I restrict the use of it. But in short, that's what we say. The restriction of the desire. The desire doesn't shrink, it remains the same. I attain some force to limit it, that I can, like an officer, I can just apprehend it and not let it break through. Where does it come from? From the attainment of the emanator, from the sensation of the Creator, just like in our world. I want to take something off the table, but I see the host. I can't. I really want it. I can't. When can I do it? Either when I'm not developed enough, like a child, it just takes off the table, doesn't ask anyone. Or I don't see the host. Yes, he's concealed like we are, like our situation. Or that I have the powers to pay the host, and then the host becomes apparent to the extent that I can pay him, and then I go into such a connection that I give you and you give me, and we're equal. And by that, we together sit at the same table together, and either we hug or we cleave to one another. So with little ones you have no consideration. With the big ones who are in concealment, you have no consideration. But those who must grow have to restrict themselves and monitor their use of the will to receive. Do they have something to pay with? You said that when I say that you have to look at the entire kli, that it's always tense field. It's always a complete kli that has all the details in it. As it is written, that a person is an entire little world. And we can't separate of Pharaoh. We can't talk about Pharaoh or Esav or Amalek or Israel, the great priest, the prophets, Moses, Abraham. We can't talk about them separately because one is built on top of the other. It cannot be that there is a holy desire if it was not taken from the impure desire and been corrected, and then it became a holy desire. It can't be, because all our desires to begin with are all corrupted. So our problem is when we look at things in the wrong way, that in our world we separate those desires and we say this nation has this desire, that nation has that desire. He is good, he is bad. It's not true. So we're talking only by the rule that a person is an entire world. It includes everything. It's a simple law in Kabbalah. Collective and individual are equal. The smallest vessel includes everything that the greatest vessel has. That's why you can't distinguish corrupted vessels aside, corrected vessels one on the other side, etc. You can't do that. But if you take a cell, a single cell, the smallest or the greatest and the middle size, whatever, it's got everything. And a different perspective brings us to a misunderstanding. We're over-corrected, we're in adhesion with the Creator. It is written in the Torah, yes, right? We're fine. Who's not fine? The nations of the world. First of all. And if I do this and that mitzvah, I'm even holier. They don't understand that if you take even one person, you have to put everything in it, so you're not corrected. And you cannot be corrected if there are things in the world that are not corrected. If I can reach the end of correction, provided the entire world reaches the end of correction. Because in me there are parts of the entire world. How can I reach the end if everyone else, if there's even one desire in the world that didn't reach the end? Everyone joins in and gets there together. It can't be any other way because everyone is incorporated with everybody else. There are only 10 spirits. Yes. The powers to hold the restriction are powers that come from the Creator. As I said, you sit next to the table, you look at the host. And you, when you see him and feel him, you can't take off the table. You want to, but you can't. Shame. Is the sensation of the greatness of the Creator the shame? That's not quite the same. Because the greatness of the Creator can come to us in 1,001 ways. Not only as shame, also as good things. If I... because I feel the Creator, if I reach a restriction, and if after the restriction I want to use my will to receive in order to give him, if I want to use all the foods and my desire in order to satisfy his desire, so I don't feel his presence, shame because of his presence, I feel honor with his presence and love and everything because I operate toward him. We are reading. One moment. No. Okay, page 47. Okay, now I got it. However, this is difficult. How can one, the soul after it decayed, yes, how can it be revived? Because it was already decayed. The thing is that just as there is in the left line Gar and Vak, so in the body that receives from it are also Gar and Vak. And so in the south there were Gar and Vak, meaning a Kli to receive Gar and a Kli to receive Vak. And you find that the Mochin of the middle line that Esav received made him desecrate the seniority. And also it makes everybody decay in the dust. However, the Mochin that comes from the middle line are only Vak of Gal and have nothing of Gal of Gal. and you find that only the Vak of Esav desecrated the seniority. For they made apparent that in the from the left line comes death, and from the right from the middle line life. But the Gal of Esav, that did not receive anything from the Mochin of Jacob, for they are only Vak of Gal, remained under the authority of the left, and did not desecrate seniority at all. For in any case, they were dead. For the middle line did not have anything to give them, and by the same token, the bodies of every person, that because of the mochin that they receive in life, they rot in the grave. And this is precisely for the vessels of Vak of the Guf, which enjoy the middle line, whereas the vessels of Gal of the Guf, the body, that never enjoyed these mochin of the middle line, do not rot in the grave, as with Gal of Esav, because they did not enjoy, therefore they did not desecrate. And this is why what our sages said, that there is a bone that does not rot in the grave, meaning a part of the body that is related to the reception of Gal of Gal, which does not enjoy the food and drink, which is the mochin that come from the middle line. And therefore, it does not decay. And therefore, the body will be rebuilt from it for the revival of the dead. So it is precisely from it. Food and drink means food is the lights of mercy, drink is the lights of wisdom. What's received in the middle line? Now, in the current situation, doesn't enjoy. That's why it doesn't rot. That's why it is revived. Because it enjoys only the mochin that will come afterwards in the middle line. Yes. But it's as though there's a surplus, something additional. Yes, reception ought to bestow, bestowing ought to bestow. What is the thing? What is a loose bone? A loose bone means that he cannot enjoy. Well, she continues. And the reason it is called Luz is, as it said, that he called that place Bet-El, the house of God. However, Luz is the name of the first of the city before, meaning everything must be distinguished with three observations, which are Olam Shana Nefesh, world, year, soul, as it is explained in the book of Yetzirah. And the illumination of the left without the right, as Olam, was the city Luz. And that is why it was called Luz, which comes from the word, the abomination of the Lord, Naloz, despicable. And also that they are despicable in their circles. This is from Proverbs 2, verse 14. And Jacob, who is the middle line, corrected the city and put godliness in it. Therefore, he called her name Betkel, the house of God. Before that, its name was Luz. But as we learn that the middle line cannot correct, but only the Vak of Gal, not the Gal of Gal, you find that it was not the entire city of Luz that was corrected, and became Betkel. But only the Vak of that city was corrected and became the house of God. But the Gal of Gal from the city kept the first name of Luz, for Jacob could not correct it. And this is the Olam, the left line. Left line of Olam Shana Nefesh in the Olam. And so from Nefesh, each body is considered like the city Luz, the righteous that attain the mochin of the middle line, and their body is endowed with the inspiration of divinity, then their body is called the house of God. So those desires that can receive in order to bestow, which are called the righteous of the body, yes? Under the previous name, Luz. Although the Gal of their goof, that have nothing to receive from the middle line, were not corrected in any way, and are not called the house of God. So those desires that were not corrected, but what? But they kept the first name, Luz. Thus, this bone that is ascribed to the gall of God is called Luz. Meaning it remained in everybody. Meaning it remained defiled and unworthy of any correction over the 6,000 years. For the mochin of the middle line do not provide for it. So there is no complete righteous, yes? No, none of them. Well, and it is, as they said, the Creator is destined to revive the dead with their flaws, so that they will not say, it is not him, it is another. And this is already explained in my introduction to the Zohar, item 28. And with this you understand that the loose bone is the flaw in the body, the blemish, that cannot be cured in the 6,000 years. So in all the corrections that we do in keeping the second restriction, those are the 6,000 years, we cannot cure this desire, correct it. As it is written that the distorted cannot be corrected and the blemish cannot be counted. And from it the body will stand to the revival of the dead. It's from this bone. So that they will not say it is another from its form in Ensof. So it is the only thing from the entire body that remains the previous form, as in the beginning. That's how it gets to the end without any change. Go on. And we should not talk about it again here. Now you see why it is called lose, and why it does not eat and drink, and why it does not decay in the grave, and why it is from that the body will stand for the revival of the dead. And remember these things, for they are the key for the entire article before us. He does what doesn't explain. He explained everything. Oh, he didn't explain what this desire is. It's for God, of God. It can't be for the middle line. So those are observations of the stony heart that cannot be corrected in the middle line. Those are the loose bone. Is the stony heart also corrected? What do you mean corrected? The entire stony heart. It is those the malchuts. It's the bone of the other creature that cannot be incorporated with the upper nine, that under any circumstances cannot be corrected in the middle line. It is called the loose bone, or it is called the stony heart, doesn't matter how you call it. It is a part that goes from the beginning of creation to the end of all the corrections and cannot be corrected. Why? Because it cannot be incorporated with the upper nine. So it is called luz, and this is what's left. This is what has to be corrected. What don't you correct in the 6,000 years? Only that. So that's what revived. Why does the entire body also revive? Because now we have to be incorporated with the entire body after it rejects the use in itself and uses only the upper nine and corrects the upper nine. Now there is a revival of the dead that permeates into this loose bone from the upper nine, and it is revived and corrected. But this is a different work, not our work. So why do we say that he doesn't write about the secrets of Torah and all that? We only have to come to the end of our own correction that we can do, meaning during the 6,000 years, as much as we can. The loose bone is not corrected by us. The end of correction is the revival of the dead should be near the general collective end of correction. What's the difference between revival of the dead and the end of correction? That from the revival of the dead until the end of correction, the complete end of correction, only the loose bone is corrected. But this is actually the entire foundation, the essence of creation. So he compares it to Esav and to all these situations that have to, that the seniority has to be sold. If it's not sold, you can't use any vessels. Only if you chop off a sort of cut him off from the operation, and instead of him bringing Jacob the midline, by that you correct during the 6,000 years the connection of Malchut and Bina and Katnut. You correct all the vessels, you come to a situation where you only have this loose bone, this the minister of Esav. What secrets of Torah are there here? What did you learn? What secrets did you learn? What is it going to be? What will be the end of correction? That you will have to correct something you didn't correct before? Start correcting what you can't correct. Secrets. That's the one that we don't even understand what secrets are. We don't know what they are. We can't even ask about that. We don't have it. We are disconnected from that. Yes. When we say that we reach the end of correction when we reach Arichanpin, but there's something else, so it's not the end of correction. Afterwards, we return to the first restriction. We finish the middle line that we can, what we can correct in the middle line, and come back to the first restriction and attain, as it says here, this is during the 70 years of life, yes? Afterwards, we go to the 7th millennium, and then the 8th and 9th and 10th. The 7th millennium is when we correct everything that we could correct in the first restriction from the awakening from above. We sign for all these things, seal them, and then we go and attain Gar, Bina, Chochmah, and Keter. Those are the 8th, 9th, and 10th millenniums. After Shabbat. What is after Shabbat? Above this world, above the 7,000 years, which are first 6,000 years are the life of the world when the world exists, or a degree, the degree that is called the seventh world above this world. It seals everything we attained in this world. As we say, he who did not work on evil Shabbat, what will eat on Shabbat? We receive all these things, and all the souls connect into one kli, and then you begin to work in the first restriction. You go from Atilut to Sag to Ab and to Galgalta, to the 8th, 9th, and 10th millenniums. Yes. There are only two lines here that he mentions, the left and the middle line. Why does he mention only two lines, not the right line? How can you work in the middle if not with the right line? He's talking specifically how you go from the middle to the left. Left is the Sav, all our vessels. All our vessels that are not corrected, yes, we get them this way. We begin, and he's the senior, he's the eldest. We start sorting out from them the vessels that we can use in order to bestow, which are the younger son, Yaakov, Jacob, from the world. In Hebrew, it's Ekev, Akev, which means going around. So although Esav is all the vessels, and the end of correction, all the lights, but you can't use it. So instead of using the senior vessels, you use the junior vessels, which are the vessels that go around. Yes, you. It's like a contour. So you use the vessels in Katnut during the 6,000 years, and afterwards you return to the vessels of Esav, but now they'll be corrected. But not in the middle line. He doesn't join the middle line, Esav. Only Jacob lives in the middle line. Esav joins Katnut. Through it, you attain the 8th, 9th, and 10th millenniums. Gal of the degree. You might say that the difference between Yaakov and Esav is the loose bone. And of course, it's corrected with the right line. How else can I take vessels from the left and work with them? I have to have the right. All the lights, all the properties of the soul that come from the right. But they can't work with the vessels of Esav, only a part of them. It's called Yaakov. Well, let's read. Page 52, item 168. He told him, I see that first light that was in the days of Bereshit, in the beginning. And afterwards he concealed it for the righteous, for the future, who is 10 moves, and in the move, in the tenth he moves. And leads everything in 10. And in 10 omens does what he does. And we learned that there are 10 writings, 10 keys to the hospital in his hand, and 10 writings he takes in the Garden of Eden to correct the earth for the bodies of the righteous. Meaning, the number 10 implies the light of mercy. And the first light that was concealed for the righteous is the light of wisdom. For Adam HaRishon looked in it from the end of the world to its end. For the light of the eyes and vision is the light of mercy. And he says that the first light is 10 moves, meaning the light of mercy, of wisdom, appears robed by 10, which is the light of mercy. And how does it come to this clothing? He interprets that it is because it comes in 3 lines, each line clothed in 10. Why 10? Because the light of mercy can appear in all 10 sefirot. That's why it's called 10. And the light of mercy can only appear in the vessels of reception. That's why it's seemingly less. And this is what he says, that he took 10, that he goes and gives in 10. And this is the right line, that its bestowal is the light of mercy. And he deals with all of them in the 10, leads everything with 10, which is the left line, that although its bestowal is wisdom, which is the point of Shuruk, still it does not lead and gives except by the clothing of Chesedim, which is the 10. And in 10 omens he does what he does. This is the middle line that decides between these 2 lines, from which extend all the signs and the omens from holiness. And what are his deeds? He interprets that there are 10 notes and 10 screens and 10 keys, meaning degrees of lights of mercy, that degrees of lights of mercy that extend over these notes. In the degrees of these degrees of lights, he heals the sick, for all disease come from the left line when it is without the incorporation of the right. And when the middle line comes with the screen of chirik over it, over which comes the degree of the light of mercy, which decides between the lines until they are mingled with one another, then all the sick are cured. Well, okay, let's see something else. Page 53, item 171. Rab Rav Avil said, come and see. Anyone who knows his true name knows that he is one and his name one. He, meaning the Creator. His name, meaning divinity. That it is written that the Lord is one and his name one. So light and vessel are connected, bond together. Meaning the name, which is divinity, and he, which is Zeranpin, are one. Zeranpin is the light, and Malchut is the vessel, the clay. And you'll find the explanation in the Sulam, Bereshit Aleph. So the Lord is the name is the clay. Yes. How do we play with Kimatra? Yud Kei Vav Kei. When they're filled the way they're written, that's how you build the name of the kli. So it's all the properties that are inside this kli come from Yud Kei Vav Kei that produces the name of the kli. And the light in the kli is the fulfilling comes from above according to the properties of the kli. That's why he is one in his name one. Or you can say differently, as much as the vessel is corrected, meaning that it has a name that is resembling one of the names in the light, so according to that name he receives. 172. Rabbi Abba said, you must look at this parasha, that it says that he blessed the camels outside the city to the well of water. Rabbi Abba said, outside the city, meaning in the cemetery, to the well of water means that we learned that those who precede the revival of the dead in the cemetery are those that negotiated in the Torah. Because we said that when a person goes into the grave, what he is asked first is if he has set times for the Torah. Meaning, when there is a departure of light, everything that a person had before, now he can use it for determining the next degree. That's called have you decided the time for the Torah? Have you labored enough so now the surrounding light can come and promote you? Yes. And from the grave, from a situation where all the lights leave the body, he's asked. Yes. It is written, and there was your faith was with you. All the more so when he leaves, he is not asked to revive them from the beginning. 173. Rabbi Abba said, so we're talking about situations of the souls. No, it's not about physical life and death, yes? Go on. Rabbi Abba said, in the evening, this is the sixth day, which is the eve of Shabbat. Or that time before the end of correction. It's also called that way. The evening of Shabbat. At which time it is time to revive the dead. And he asks, what is the meaning of the differences of the words? Sorry. And he says that we learned that 6,000 years stands the world. And the eve of Shabbat is the sixth millennium, which is the end of everything, meaning before evening, which is the time of the end of everything, when those who bring the water go out. Those are the disciples of the wise that bring forth the water of the Torah, which is the time to leave and shake up from the dust, meaning be revived. So now the correction is not what they corrected during the 6,000 years, but continue afterwards toward the revival of the dead, toward this loose bone that we said before. 174 is very interesting. And Rabbi Abba said further, you should also know that we learned those who try to know their Lord in this world and their soul is completed for the next world are endowed with exiting the grave, the soul, the oath of the soul that was sworn to Matat, for Matat wants to know who is a real body, just as the soul sworn him. And what is he? It is as it says, I stand at the eye of the water, although the body of a wise disciple is he. Matat is going to examine the perfection, as it is written that there was concealment, that the maid who is going to bring the water, I told him, please give me some water from your vase, which means give me a clue about the knowledge of the Lord that you have attained. Well, you have nothing to ask about that. You can read further. 175. Meaning, when she let him know three knowledges, three things. The first, you are a slave as I am, meaning you have no God. B, my knowledge was not placed with the knowledge of the place of the Lord, and she did not err. She did not mistake him for the right less completion in his mochin that gives the souls as a completion of the Creator, completeness of the Creator. Three, you must attain that you are a creature as I am, even though you are an angel. Still, you are like a creature, meaning with a desire as I am. And even though you now think that you're an angel, meaning that you have no free choice and you're incapable of being corrected, you are like me, you have a deficit, you have a need that can be corrected and must be corrected. Yes. Maybe we'll read page 56, item 188. When Rav Dimi came, he said, I heard this parasha, this, the explanation to this parasha, and I do not remember it. They said that the upper ones, the strong upper ones, meaning the higher degrees, were not given to revelation. And we, what do we say? Meaning, when the wisdom, when the wise, the truth, explain the secrets of the text, those degrees that the text speak of come by themselves to those wise at that time and present themselves to be brought to revelation. And if it were not for their assistance, they would not have the strength to disclose any secret. As Rav Dimi said, that the upper ones, the stronger ones, did not present themselves and did not aid in disclosing the text in this parasha. Rav Yehuda rose and said, in the assembly of our friends of the Mishnah, this parasha is revealed. Understood? Read it again. I'll read it. When the wisdom of the truth explain the secrets of the text, those degrees that this wise speak of, that they only want to attain them, those degrees. We're talking about, it talks also about us. Those degrees come themselves to those wise at that time and present themselves to be brought to discovery. That a person who learns, he doesn't know what he's learning, but he wants to somehow something that he learns, and then the surrounding lights awaken on him, those degrees, and those degrees awaken the person and give him some mind and knowledge and understanding and observation and support to find them in the correct way. And if it weren't for their aid, if they didn't help him from above, they would not, those wise, have the power to learn any secret. And so Dimi said that the strong upper ones did not invent themselves, did not present themselves, and did not help show the text of this parasha. That's it. That's how we should relate to the Zohar and to the power in it. That in learning about the degrees, the upper degrees, they themselves slowly come to us and create the preparations in us to find them in a clear operation, in apparent attainment. Next Tuesday we won't have Zohar, and there'll be no classes here, because from here I will give a virtual class through the internet in Hebrew to anyone who wants to enter our site. And that will be every Tuesday from next week and on. So every Tuesday we are beginning through the internet to study the wisdom of Kabbalah from the very, very beginning. And we'll succeed as much as we succeed. It will be broadcasted on a site called KAB.TV. KAB.TV. www.kab.tv. What time? 8:30 p.m. Israel time. 8:30 p.m. Israel time. That's 1:30 p.m. Eastern time and 10:30 a.m. Western time. You can write questions and we'll be able to talk and explain the entire wisdom of Kabbalah simply in an easy pace that we'll decide with a reciprocal mutual connection. I'll be able to hear anyone who wants to ask, and I will certainly I'm willing to give answers to anyone who asks. We'll continue the Zohar only on Thursday evening from 7 to 9 to 8:30. And what I also want to say about the virtual class on Tuesdays, that it is not defined as some class that goes by Talmud or some other source or text. It will probably be a series of 10 lessons in which I will provide like a summary of the wisdom of Kabbalah, and those who completed will have a basic understanding of what it's about. And afterwards, if you want to, you can continue into another series after the first 10 lessons, a deeper one that will take, I don't know, 6 months or so. And after that, well, we'll see how it goes. What I do want is for it to be prepared and easy for everyone to understand, for as many people to understand as possible. So in the meantime, this Thursday we're still here, Zohar, and also next Thursday Zohar as usual. The virtual class, there won't be anyone here. Everyone will be wherever they are, next to their computers. I have a question. A person who sits at home and studies, looking at you, is he a part of the group? Or? Well, we have no choice. We have to come to everyone, because it is a crucial time. And we are going into very, very difficult times. We have to make the utmost effort in order to turn this development through pain, as we said in the beginning of the class, into development through the light that reforms. If we don't do that, we are almost lost. Almost doomed. It is, as the prophets and everyone said, they were talking about our generation. And there are phases before us that can be very, very dangerous and unpleasant. And also the same applies to the entire world. We see where everything is going, and there's no one who can do anything. And we can't do anything, but we believe that we can draw the light from above through our study that will change and improve the world, and especially we will improve our situation, first of all. So, for that reason, we have to, as Baha'u'llah Salam says, everything is written by our great and holy teachers. All we need is a soul, and to do that. So, this time, we have to try and reach the entire nation, as many people as possible should know about it and understand that with their approach to the world and to life and to the upper force depends our destiny, our fate. And we must try and save the situation, because as bad as it appears to us, it is a lot worse, in fact. Because in spirituality, there's a decision, and afterwards it is carried out. And the time between the decision and the carrying out might not be closed at the same time. As he writes, that there's a time of the giving of the Torah and the time of the reception of the Torah. And unfortunately, we still don't feel how much it is on its way to us. So I have no choice. I must, as much as I can, I obey my teachers and perhaps do something about it. So we've decided that we are going to give a general lesson for the entire nation of Israel, for those who want to participate in the internet classes with us. And these lessons, of course, they will be, first of all, purposeful lessons to draw the light that reforms. This light gives us confidence, and first of all, it gives us economic and national independence. It makes Israel a sovereign state. Let's hope that we can do that. Well, now we're going to our little feast after class, and we'll continue Thursday with the Zohar classes.